I want to talk to you today about the greatest mistake. Now, boy, that's opening up Pandora's box when you talk about the greatest mistake. But I was reading here recently, and in my reading, I ran across this thing that just really gripped me and grabbed me. It said, which is the greatest mistake? And I thought, well, what am I getting into here? It said, number one, to forget past blessings. And I thought, well, that'd be a bad mistake, to forget past blessings. Number two, to be unaware of present blessings. And I thought, well, now that'd be bad also. And then number three, there's like a multiple choice, to not enjoy your present blessings. And I thought about putting it on the screen, but I guess I didn't think about it too much because I didn't ask them to do it. But now think about that a moment, because we all do some of that. I think we do. I know I do. Like forget past blessings. We have so many past blessings, and, you know, we move on. Maybe every now and then we think about them, but you just find they go away mentally. And then not be aware of present blessings. For me, that is an everyday deal, I fear. So many blessings God gives us, and maybe at the moment we're not even aware of what's happening, or to not enjoy our present blessings. And out of that choice, I don't know which you would choose, A, B, or C. I thought, you know, for me, it would be C, to not enjoy my present blessings. The other two are not good. But if you look with me on page 535, we'll read just a little verse or two in Psalm 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. The word bless means praise God. O my soul means to tell myself. That's the idea. And all that is within me, that is, you know, with my whole heart, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then in the verse it says, and forget not all his benefits. And then the psalmist begins to name some of them, who forgives all your iniquities, which is one of the words in the Bible for sin, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I want a dose of that. And it just goes on, and we're going to look at another verse in just a moment. So, as you know, you think about that, we think about, you know, the truth is, it's just so easy to kind of, I guess, take for granted our present blessings, and you don't realize you've done that until you lose them. For example, our health. We don't really think much about our health unless we have a physical issue. Then you begin to think about, well, you know, but if everything is going great physically, you just kind of move on. But it could be a multitude of things. So many special blessings that we have. And then I'm reminded that, you know, Solomon, the Bible says, one of the wisest men who ever lived, he said, to everything there is a season. And, you know, life has its seasons. Each of us, we're at some season in life. Like when you're a child, like you can't wait to get to be a teenager. And then when you get to be a teenager, then, you know, you can't wait till you get, you know, beyond that. And then you go to work or go to college, and then you can't wait till you get out if you're in college to say, I want to get that first job after college. And everything is like what the next season is, and it just kind of keeps going. And the fact of the matter is, somewhere out there along the way, we just don't enjoy the blessings that we have. You know, what's the old saying that, you know, one of the sad things about youth is it's wasted on youth. Well, you know, we've all at one time been a youth, and, you know, you'd hear people say, boy, enjoy these days. These are the greatest days of your life. We thought, oh, surely not. They were good days, were they not? But we have so many blessings to enjoy, and we need to work at doing that, and we need to enjoy them now. And someone says, well, you know, how do we, during these different seasons in life, you know, How do you enjoy each of the blessings you have now? Well, I want to just mention some today that we have a moment or two that we can mention. One of the blessings that we all have that we should enjoy every day. Now, We can go back to the past and thank the Lord for the past, and it's the same true then as now. But like we're living today, and here is a blessing, and that is the blessing of forgiven sins. Now, I know that sounds like something the preacher's going to preach on Sunday, but I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing. The Bible just has so much to say to us about the blessing of forgiven sins. In fact, you're in Psalm 103. If you look down in verse 12, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. That word transgressions is another, it's a Hebrew word. Also, we just know that word kind of is sin. And, you know, and then, of course, in the book of Isaiah, one of my very favorite verses about how God forgives us of our sins says God blots out our transgressions and will not even remember our sins. That doesn't mean God has a bad memory. It means He no longer accounts those sins. Once they've been forgiven in God's sight, those sins are forgotten. And what a blessed, wonderful thing. And then there's a great verse in Micah. In Micah chapter 7, where God says, I will cast all your sins into the depth of the sea. And my favorite of all the verses on sins over in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, says, if we confess our sins, God's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that word cleanses, it's a continuing thing. Like when you became a Christian, we asked God to forgive us of our sins, but after we become a Christian, we still sin. And so it's a continuing blessing that God gives us. And as we go through the day, I encourage you, as you are aware that you have thought something, said something, or done something that did not measure up to God's standard, then immediately ask God's forgiveness. Don't wait till you get home at night, or don't wait till church next Sunday. If you got a speck in your eye, you wouldn't say, when I get home tonight, I'm going to get it out. You'd get it right out, quickly as you could. Same way. You don't have to close your eyes. If you're out on 45, don't close your eyes to confess your sin. Keep your eyes alert and going. But it's a wonderful thing. As good as that is, listen very carefully, how true it is, God does forgive us of our sins, and nothing makes you feel better. As I was walking from my office over here, I thought, as I was walking over here, knowing what I was going to talk about, to the best of my knowledge, I walked in this room today with no sin I had not confessed. Now, perhaps some I was not aware, but I thought, just walking across the commons, I thought, now have I thus far today said anything, thought anything, done anything that did not measure up to God's standard and please God, that I have not already asked God to forgive me? Now, I've already sinned several times today, so don't leave thinking I'm good. I lost patience 3 or 4 times this morning with Dottie. But I've confessed it. Now, I've confessed it to you. I've not yet confessed it to her. Let's just keep it among ourselves, okay? We do things like that, and of course, thankfully, I didn't say anything. I did, but you know, in my heart, I just thought, now you know that my heart, I need not do that. And I know it's kind of like a mushy thing, but I'm telling you what, we have to be on guard. If we're not, you know, you give the devil an inch, you'll take a mile. Just when you have thought, said, or done something that did not measure up to God's standard, when you're aware of it, and you confess it, it's like when we have communion in the church. And before we eat the bread and drink of the cup, we ask everybody, now just ask the Holy Spirit to help you think of anything that you've not asked God's forgiveness. It's one of the most liberating things to think at this moment, to my knowledge, I have no sin I've not confessed. And that is one of our one. And the blessing is God forgives us. But that said, hear me carefully. God does forgive our sins, but our sins do have consequences. So let's not make light of sin. It's not like, well, don't worry about it. If you sin, why, God's going to forgive you and cast your sins into the depths of the sea and remove them as far as the east from the west. We'll remember them no more. All that's biblically true and is true. But the Bible also says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that he shall also reap. Problem is, you reap more than you sow. Listen, there are consequences to sin. I think of our first Adam, and the sin that he and Eve committed in the garden. Now, I read that story again this morning. They admitted they had eaten the forbidden fruit. So I guess, in a way, in an Old Testament sense, that was somewhat like their confession, yet they blamed everybody else for it. You know, that's human nature. But it really did have some consequences. For them, they were put out of the garden. But for you and for me, from that moment on, every person born is born with a sin nature. I saw this perfectly in this very room last Tuesday, sin nature in action. Last Monday and Tuesday, we had our two grandchildren to stay with us. And all day Monday, I swapped off days last week. I was off on Monday, not Thursday. All they wanted to talk about, they wanted to go to Tuesday Bible lunch. They've been a time or two. Now, if you're a visitor, they are like 7 and 5. And they've been here before. And so I put the fear of God in them. I said, okay, now Graham, you have to sit with Graham. And you can't be talking, you can't be messing around. You've got to sit there and behave yourself. We'd love to have you go. Oh, I want to go. A little Joel especially. Oh, he wanted to go. Well, they sat right over there about where Vic Keister is. Like, so Dottie was there, Charlie Jojo. And I told him, I said, now look, during my sermon, you sit there and pay attention and don't go to sleep. You sit up and pay attention. Oh, you can count on us. I said, well, I've not been in my sermon about 2 minutes. And I glanced over there, and old Joel, I thought, he is not only asleep, he's going to fall out of his chair and just hit the floor. But he was in this crouched position. I thought, Well, my mind was about half on him for fear he was going to fall out of his chair, and that would create kind of a commotion. But be that as it may, when it got over, now this is gospel truth. This way, the moment it got over, he woke up, I guess the noise, and I sat down here, and I saw him coming. He just came running up the steps. I jumped up in my lap and said, listen, you went sound asleep during my sermon. I told you not to do it. And here's what he said. And this guy's 5 years old. He said, no, I didn't. I said, well, you mean no, you didn't. I saw you. He said, let me tell you what happened, Pop. My foot went to sleep. Now, this is what he told me. My foot went to sleep, and when it did, it put the rest of my body to sleep. I thought, well, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, in action right here. So, well, that's kind of what Adam and Eve did, you know. They blamed each other, blamed the serpent, I mean. But there were consequences to that sin. So let us not just make light of sin. Let us remember that we have a God, one of our great blessings is that God forgives and God forgets. That's a different kind of forgiving. Well, let me tell you another blessing. Maybe we mention another here today. And that is the blessing of God's provision every day we should enjoy. You know the verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, says God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But you know, when we think about that, we always think about things. I fear we do. God will supply all of your needs. Oh, I'm going to get some money, or I'm going to have this material thing, that. Well, you know, all of our needs aren't material. In fact, there are many needs, not material. Many of the people I've prayed for today, in my daily prayers today, in fact, I don't think I prayed for anybody's material needs in my daily prayers today. I was praying for other needs. But here, see, God promises us that he will provide for all of our needs. And it's a daily thing. We just can know every day as we journey out into the day that we don't do it by ourselves. You know, we have somebody helping us. And that somebody is the Holy Spirit. And he does help us. And he provides for us. And I was thinking, like, just in my own life, I thought, well, now, how's this, you know, what's a blessing of provision that God's blessed me with most recent? And I thought, well, two yesterday just popped up in my head, and both came through people, and I won't go into the details, but both had written me a letter, and I read both of those letters, and they overwhelmed me so, I wrote both of the people back. I hand wrote it. They'll never know what I said, but, you know, but they'll know I said something. But I thought, you know, this one letter this young man wrote me, he's now grown. He grew up in his church. I've been his pastor all of his life. I remember when he trusted Jesus. One Saturday, I went to their home when that young man was a little boy. His parents had asked me to come, and I went over what the Bible teaches. I remember when he was saved, and he's just been a role model young man growing up. And now he's out of university, and he's now gotten a job in another city, and he's moved away. And he wrote me a letter. And in fact, he handed me the letter the last Sunday he was here. I didn't know he was leaving. He said, here's something. Read it later. And I said, okay. I was walking out to preach in the second service. It was the most encouraging thing I've read. And I thought, you know, that really did energize me, if I can say it that way. I thought, you know, he just kind of inspired me to, you know, you don't really know what maybe life is doing out there. But and then I had this other letter from a funeral that I'd preached, and that person was telling me some things about how that service had impacted some of her family that don't go to church. They're not, you know, they just, for whatever reason, I don't know. And you know, she said some very kind things, probably, you know, she was being kind. But the point I make is this. Think in your life, how many times has God used people to just meet a need? Maybe it was a material need, but many times it's just maybe to encourage you when you need a little extra encouragement, or to inspire you to just do your very best or whatever. God used me, and the exciting thing is you and I, we can be a people that God uses to bless others. And the point I make is I want to be more sensitive to sensing that God's provisions are one, some of my present blessings, and enjoy those, just enjoy those, and not let them slip by. And then, of course, access to God would be the other thing I want to mention today. If you turn back in Psalm 55, it won't be very far from where you are. But, you know, one of the real blessings of our day, every day that we should enjoy, is access to God. In Psalm 55, if you look in verse 17, it says, even in morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and God shall hear my voice. That's mind-boggling. It's an everyday now blessing that I fear we don't really enjoy it like we should. We can talk to the Creator of the universe. Somebody told me yesterday they tried to get an appointment with their doctor. They needed to see their doctor, and the office said, well, we can see you somewhere in September. Well, they could be dead by September, you know. Well, I'll tell you what, you don't have to wait to September to talk to God, amen? To think that we have, and that's just a blessing that we have every day. I hope today that you've not missed that blessing, but not just talk to God, to realize that is something you should enjoy. Talking to God and praying is not like something's our duty, even though we do have responsibility, but it's a privilege to be able to talk to our God. And that's one of the great blessings. You know, I remember years ago in the early 70s, a friend in Tennessee gave me a little plaque, and I kept it on the wall of my office all the time I was in Tennessee. And then when I moved to Sulphur Springs, Texas, I took the plaque, and I can still see where it hung on the wall there. And then I brought it down here when I came here 27 and a half years ago. And we've built and moved around so many times, I won't say I've lost it. I just don't know where it is. Have you got anything like that? It's somewhere. It's somewhere in all this. But in a way, I've not lost it, because I can see it if I close my eyes. But I remember what it says. You've maybe heard this. It was very simple. It says, don't hurry, don't worry, and don't forget to smell the flowers. And that thing hung there. Now it's kind of hung in here. And you know, I think one reason we don't enjoy our present blessings as much as we really need to is right there. We hurry and we worry. I would have to say, you look at your life and I look at my life. We all do. And we all say, if I could live it over again. Well, I don't want to live it over again. But I would have to say, if I had to list some of the mistakes that I've made in my life, on that list, I have missed enjoying a lot of blessings because I was in a hurry. You know, hurry is the death of prayer. And I just want to encourage you. We all have to hurry. I mean, I go from here and all afternoon, just one thing after another thing. I know, but somewhere in all this thing, somehow or another, we just need to say, now, wait a minute. I'm not going to let a day go by that I don't reflect on the blessings that I have at this time in my life and enjoy those blessings. Father, all of us could work on that. God, I lose a lot of things. I put them places and I don't always know where they are. But that little plaque has blessed me over and over again. Don't hurry, don't worry, and don't forget to smell the flowers. God, help us to enjoy the present blessings that you give us in life. God, thank you for each one who's here today. Help us, God, as we go from here, even today, maybe we could be a blessing in some way to somebody out there. And we might not even have a clue when we do something or say something that we're being a blessing. That's not important. Just lead us to do and say what you have for us planned even this day. In Jesus' name, amen.